السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
السلام عليكم يا شيخ.
عليكم السلام ورحمة الله وبركاته. أبا يوسف، كيف الحال؟
الحمد لله بخير.
We can start our class girl. إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا وسيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلوات الله وسلامه عليه. We are still on the chapter Babun La Yu'zi Jarahu. La Yu'zi Jarahu. The chapter that tells us about the prohibition of harming or hurting our neighbors. The Muslim should not hurt his neighbor. The Muslim should not direct harm or cause harm to his neighbor or her neighbor. We read in the last hadith when one of the women came to ask our mother Aisha radiallahu anha about two questions. The first question was about the dealings between a woman and her husband. When a woman would say she was not disposed, she does not have nashab, or that, oh, she's angry with her husband, and that would make her disallow his invitation to her. Our mother Aisha radiallahu anha answered that question that the right, the greatness of the right of a husband, the bigness of the right of a husband that Allah has given the husband over his wife would not allow a woman to say a no upon the invitation of her husband. We mentioned in that class that there are many other ahadith that show this fact, that Allah has placed a lot of honor for the husband over the wife. Allah has placed a lot of rights on the woman regarding her husband. One of such hadith is a hadith that really touching regarding this matter. A woman came to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam for a particular need. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked her, Azatu ba'lin, are you a woman who has a husband? The woman said, yes, I have a husband. I'm a married woman. Then the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kayfa anti lahu, how are you to him? So the woman said, I have never disobeyed him in any of his commands, and I have never fallen short to serve my husband. When he commands me, I obey. When he needs my attention, I provide him the attention. Then the Prophet said, except what I am not able to do. When he wants me, for example, to carry a mountain, I can't carry a mountain, for example. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Fa'anzuri ayna anti minhu. Fa innama huwa jannatuki wa naruki. Fa'anzuri, consider it after him. Aina anti minhu, where you stand in front of him, where you stand in this mind, your position to him, because what the impressions he has about you matters a lot. Fa innama huwa jannatuki wa naruki, because he is a means by which he attains al jannah, and he is a means by which you may attain nar. The husband is the means by which a woman may attain al jannah. The husband is a means by which the wife may attain nar. I gave an example of this to a woman yesterday regarding her husband. I said, if you have a man or a woman who is to mark your name, a group of five women line up. They have a woman or a man who is sitting on a desk. This man has to mark your name. You have to the list of the people to receive $100,000 in the office or in the room inside. Just go in, receive your money and go away. Pick your money and go away. It's been packed. $100,000. That was when I knew yesterday that it is now about 500 naira per dollar. That's about how much? 5 million. Just go in, take your pack of $100,000 and go away. And the person you have to tick your name before going in tells you are stupid and foolish. So I asked the woman, how do you reply that man or woman? She's the one who will tick your name before you go in to pick your $100,000. While you are on the line waiting to go inside, the person says, stupid you. Please stand properly on the line. The person begins to command you. I say, what do you say to the woman? She said, I'm going to smile and say, oh, thank you. I'm sorry. I say, that is the way this woman or man who is to take your name before you go in to pick $100,000 from the room might have actually been rude to you. But you will not see the rudeness as anything because of what you want to obtain behind him or her. You want the $100,000 and you don't want anything to come in between you and that. For you, the insult that person might have insulted you is small compared to what you want to obtain. The way a woman should manage with and cope with some of these insults she wants to say that she's responding to from her husband should be more than this. Because what she wants to gain from behind that is bigger than $100,000. So for the sake of Allah, you will not find a justification. It's a bigger thing. If the man would have been, no doubt, going beyond bounds. Or you would go beyond bounds if you say exactly the same words to him of abuse that he says to you. This is admonition for men too. If you truly love your wife, don't destroy her Jannah by doing things that can provoke her also to act. Otherwise, she'll be destroying her hereafter. So what's the essence of being a husband? You are a husband to protect the wife, to gain Jannah. Now, you are insinuating and causing her not to be able to gain the Jannah. So for the sake of Allah, it's a very, very big thing now. We're emphasizing it because the society is suffering from issues between the man and the husband. And then in that hadith, the Prophet sallallahu, our mother Aisha radiallahu anha said that the woman should attend to the needs of the husband, even if she be upon a qatab. Walau kunti ala qatabin. Even if you are sitting on the back saddle of a camel, it's a device they place on a camel to be able to sit on it. One of the scholars who spoke about that hadith, qatab, while explaining why was it that al-qatab was used as the example of the second stand. We explained to us in the last class that the qatab, when a woman sits on it, she's constrained. So meaning that no matter how constrained you may be as a woman, when your husband invites you, please attend to that invitation. Now, one of the scholars was explaining the same hadith. He said, when a woman wants to give birth to a baby, they place them upon that qatab. In the Arab culture of the old, when a woman is in the point of delivery, she's placed upon a qatab. That the meaning of that is that no matter the inconvenience, you know, even if she were in a condition that, oh, she wants to deliver now, it just goes to show how much the Sharia prohibits that a woman says a no to her husband. That also means, as we have said in the last class, the men must come up to be men. No man should ask a woman or ask less than a man in front of his wife when it comes to the private matters. Please fulfill the rights of your husband. You want of your wife. The wives have a right that a man approaches them, that a man is private with them. Be private with your wives. It is a duty you owe them. It is a right they have over you. Fulfill these rights. fulfill it with the intention that you are performing an act of worship. Just like you struggle to bring food, clothes, and drink to them and provide them accommodation. The same way you have a duty to be sure that you perform this duty according to the needs of the Sharia. We beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us all. At the end of that hadith, the Prophet Muhammad, which is a point of reference, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, was reported to have said, وَلَا تُؤْذِي جَارَكِ فِي شَاتِهِ وَلَا تُؤْذِي جَارَكِ فِي شَاتِهِ. Do not hurt. When our mother wants to run after the sheep that came to take away the barley bread that she had made for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the Prophet cautioned her, alayhi salatu wasalam, لَا تُؤْذِي جَارَكِ فِي مَذَا فِي شَاتِهِ. Do not cause harm to your neighbor regarding his animal, meaning that do not cause harm to your neighbor regarding what he has. Don't cause harm to your neighbor regarding his car, regarding his house, regarding his children. Don't beat the neighbor's child in such a way that when the neighbor sees you, he's crazy, he's uncomfortable. Why would you have treated my son or my daughter like this? Don't abuse the children of your neighbors. We know the various kinds of abuse that children suffer from neighbors these days. When people do that, may Allah protect all of us and our household. You must not be the one to do that as a Muslim. La tu'zi jaraki fi shatihi. If you cannot, in Islam, you cannot harm the animal that belongs to your neighbor, a domestic animal, a fowl, a sheep, a goat, a ram, a cow, a horse, or any such animal that is domesticated. You must not harm it when it belongs to your neighbor. Why should you harm the daughter? Why should you harm the sister? Or why should you harm the wife of your neighbor? Or why should you harm the son of your neighbor? Or those who are living with you, who are human beings, who are not like those animals. So Islam prohibits us not to hurt or harm our neighbors. In one of such ahadith, that shows that Islam very strongly prohibits that a Muslim harms or causes hurt to the neighbor is the next hadith that we shall start with today. Hadith number 121. Al-Imam al-Bukhari, rahimahullah, in this hadith, he says, حدثنا سليمان ibn داود أبو الربيع. Al-Imam al-Bukhari says, حدثنا سليمان ibn داود أبو الربيع. قال حدثنا إسماعيل بن جعفر قال حدثنا الألاء بن عبد الرحمن عن أبيه عن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم قال لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه. الإمام البخاري reported from his Sheikh سليمان بن داود أبو الربيع. He said حدثنا إسماعيل بن جعفر, who said that الإمام العلاء بن عبد الرحمن reported this hadith from his father. This is not of العلاء بن عبد الرحمن. We have come across them a number of times in this book. Al-Imam Al-Ala ibn Abdul Rahman reported from his father, who was the Tabi'i Abdul Rahman, who was reporting from Abu Huraira radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulallah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam qala. It said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam said, لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه لا يدخل الجنة من لا يأمن جاره بوائقه لا يدخل الجنة. Such a person will not enter الجنة. لا يدخل الجنة. A person will not be from amongst, will not come into الجنة, will not enter into الجنة. Who is that? Man la ya'amanu jaruhu. Man, the individual who la ya'amanu jaruhu, whose neighbor, his neighbor La ya'amanu bawa yakahu, does not feel safe. La ya'amanu, his neighbor does not feel safety from what? Bawa'iqahu. Bawa'iq, or bawa'iq is the plural of ba'iqatun. That is ga'ilatun. That's why you have ga'ilatun, gawa'il. So you have ba'iqatun, bawa'iq. Bawa'iq is ash-sharru wal-fasad. Ash-sharru wal-fasad. Udwan. Shar, evil. Evil. Fasad, spoiling something, making something go bad, the badness of a person. So your badness, your evil side, when your neighbor becomes unsafe, you are the Muslim, may Allah protect us. And yet your neighbor feels unsafe regarding evils that may touch him from you. The Prophet said regarding such a person, La yadkhulu al-jannah. Such a person will not enter al-jannah. Why? La ya'manu jaruhu. The neighbor of that person, we say, will have the repercussion of not coming into al-jannah. This person who will not enter al-jannah. La ya'manu jaruhu. His neighbor does not feel safety, does not feel comfortable, does not feel safe. The neighbor is afraid. That is why you see the ya'amanu here is the opposite of yakhaf. So the neighbor is in constant fear about the harm that can touch him from you. Such a person will not come into Al-Jannah. A person whose neighbor is in regular fear of him regarding the evil that may touch the neighbor from him. This kind of an individual, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulu al-jannah. La yadkhulu al-jannah man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. The one whose neighbor is not safe, does not feel safe from the evil of his hands, bawa'iqah. From the evil, from the badness, from bad things that can happen to the neighbor from your hand. Your neighbor is not safe. Is not comfortable. And the neighbor is someone who should be comfortable with you. Your neighbor is someone who has placed his wife and his children just in a house nearer to you. And this person is not safe. He's afraid of you because you have harm. You are known to be a person who is hurtful. May Allah protect all of us. So your neighbor feels afraid of you. There are people whose neighbors can't even look at them. They take their glances away from them because of the evils in their hands. Man la ya'manu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, la yadkhulu al-jannah. Such a person will not enter al-jannah. Now the ulama explains that. Say, la yadkhulu al-jannah. A person will not enter al-jannah who does what we have described. Whose neighbor is not free from the hands, from the bad character, bad things that could come from him. His neighbor, because of that, does not see a sense of safety. What does it mean to say, La yadkhulu al-jannah? They say there are two things that can happen regarding that person's entrance into al-jannah. La yadkhulu al-jannah ibtida'an. It could mean that if this person is a Muslim and he actually dies as a Muslim, the one who has evil, he could be a Muslim, may Allah protect all of us. And he dies upon Tawheed, he dies upon sound iman, not joining any partners with Allah and not having committed any act of kufr. And that is if on the day of Qiyamah, because this is from An-Nususul Wa'id. The texts are nususul wa'id, the texts of warning, the texts of serious caution. And we know from the Aqidah of Ahl Sunnah al-Jama'ah that these texts in which Allah threatens, I will put you into the fire, or I will punish you, or you will not enter al-Jannah. These kinds of texts, that is if on the day of Qiyamah, Allah does not forgive that person. Otherwise, this person may still be forgiven by Allah because of the basic iman that he had, because of his tawheed. The rewards of his tawheed could earn him, the reward of his iman could earn him Allah's forgiveness completely, such that he will not even be punished at all. He goes into Al-Jannah. So if he fails, if he does not gain that forgiveness from Allah, he may lose Al-Jannah from the very beginning. So la yadkhulu al-Jannah ibtida'a. He will not enter Al-Jannah from the beginning. He will be made to suffer the repercussions of his evil deeds first before he is brought into Al-Jannah. So la yadkhulu al-Jannah could mean he will not enter Al-Jannah at the beginning, when those who have been forgiven, who have gained the mercy and the fadl of Allah to get into Al-Jannah, go into Al-Jannah from the very beginning, they have not known the evil of punishment or the evil of the fire. They go to Al-Jannah at the beginning. This person whose neighbor is not free from the harms of his hands may not join them. He will not enter from this beginning. Why? He has a problem to resolve. He has some punishment to receive that will delay his entry into Al-Jannah. So in that sense, that could be made to understand, it could be understood to mean that la yadkhulu al-Jannah, because he has not entered it with those who entered it at the beginning. So la yadkhulu al-Jannah ibtida'an ma'a dakhilina fiha. He will not enter into Al-Jannah at the beginning, together with those who will enter at the beginning. So he will be delayed. In this sense, la yadkhulu al-Jannah. Why would he be delayed? La ya'amanu jaruhu bawa'iqahu. The reason why he may be delayed is that he wants to suffer the evil repercussions of his neighbors, not feeling safe because of the evil that he may cause to his neighbors. So because of that, la yadkhulu al-Jannah. He may not enter al-Jannah upon this first explanation with those who enter at the beginning. The second meaning of la yadkhulu al-Jannah is that he may not enter al-Jannah at all. Why? Because he has considered, such a person has considered it halal for himself. He had considered it lawful for himself to cause harm to people. And he knows that it is haram. A person knows that something is not lawful in Islam. When he thinks, no, for me it's lawful, he begins to say, no, it's lawful for him. And he acts upon that consideration of lawfulness. That is from the aspects of kufur. This is from the aspects of belying parts of the Sharia. And a person who belies, who calls any part of the Sharia a lie, or rejects any part of the Sharia, or feels above any part of the Sharia, or feels that Allah does not have a right to command him not to hurt his neighbor, these are from the various aspects of kufur. A person who does this regarding his neighbor is committing an act of kufur from this aspect. So la yadkhulu al-Jannah, that would mean he will not enter al-Jannah at all. So la yadkhulu al-Jannah could mean two things. It could mean that la yadkhulu al-Jannah ibtida'an. It could also mean that la yadkhulu al-Jannah ala ta'bid. He may not enter al-Jannah forever. Why? Because he has committed an act of kufur from the aspect of this issue. But if it does not go to that extent, he is only committing that sin out of failure, out of nonchalance, out of whatever reason. Well, he knows that what he's doing is bad, and he believes that what he has done is bad. He knows and believes also that the Sharia has prohibited what he is doing, but he, for whatever reason, still does it. And as a result of that, his la yadkhulu al-Jannah will be what? Ibtida, and if Allah does not forgive him on the day of Qiyamah. But so la yadkhulu al-Jannah could mean two things. La yadkhulu al-Jannah ibtida'an, or la yadkhulu al-Jannah ala ta'bid. He will not enter al-Jannah at the beginning, or he will not enter al-Jannah forever. It will be forever if he commits kufur from the aspect of what he is doing. That is, he thinks lawful. He knows it is unlawful. But he thinks he has a right, he has a duty upon himself to consider what Allah has made unlawful to be lawful. And considering what Allah has made unlawful to be lawful is from the aspects of what? Kufur. So his La Yadkhulul Jannah will be what? Allah Ta'adid forever. So La Yadkhulul Jannah, this makes us understand that the matter is serious, because now it is connected to his entering or not entering Al-Jannah. This is one of the expressions with which we know Kabair. We had discussed this earlier in this book. From the expressions with which we know Kabair is that the Prophet will mention, alayhi salatu salam, the fire regarding it. Or that the Prophet will say, la yu'minu regarding it. The person does not have iman. Or things like this. The Prophet will, or that the matter has had a legal punishment that is connected to it. But in this case, this matter has not entered Al-Jannah connected to it. The one whose neighbor does not feel safe from the evils of his hands. He has an evil. He has a wicked dog that he directs to the children on the street. There are people like that. They deliberately want to cause a terror on the street. So they set their dogs loose to children on the street. You want everybody to be afraid of your house. Yes, if you have a right to have a dog, a guide dog in your house, you don't have a right to set that dog on the streets, on the passersby, innocent passersby on the street, because the street, your home is not more than your fence. Your home is not more than your fence. So fear Allah, not set your dogs against the people on the street. So that your dog on the street is a means of terror to the children and the rest of the passersby on the street. Don't be that kind of person. So they are regularly afraid of you. It can be as simple as this. It can be as simple as this. It can be as simple as this. And then everybody on the street begins to say, oh, leave that man. If you greet him now, it's trouble. If you don't greet him, it is problem. He'll start shouting. He'll start abusing people. He'll start insulting people. He'll start. So they just allow you to be. May Allah protect us. So la yadkhulu al-jannah man la ya'manu jaruhu fawaiqa. They know you to be an abuser of young people, of children. You abuse children. So everybody is afraid of you. Don't allow your son or your daughter to play with so person because he does this. So everybody is afraid of their children. Everybody is warning their children against having anything to do with you. This Muslim should be ashamed of himself and turn to Allah in repentance. Don't be a person that the people on the street are afraid of. They are scared of you. Why? Because you have some sort of evil with you. Or an internet user, you're a young boy using the internet. And you use the internet to defraud the people. So you are well known on the street. You could, from your computer, capture the privacies of people in their homes. Fear Allah, because Allah is watching you right now. So the people are afraid of you. You have that evil. The people are afraid of you. So when the people are afraid of you because of the evil that they can get from you, you fall under this category. لَا تَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةِ. Such an individual will not enter Al-Jannah. I hope that this hadith is clear, bismillah, which is the hadith of Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu. And it's the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ فَوَائِقَهُ. The one whose neighbor, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ, he will not enter the paradise. Who is that? مَنْ لَا يَأْمَنُ جَارُهُ بَوَائِقَهُ. The one whose neighbor does not feel safe from the evils from him will not enter Al-Jannah. This makes us understand, as the chapter heading says, that لَا يُؤْذِي جَارَهُ. It is not lawful for a Muslim to be a means of harm, a means of hurt to the neighbor. Beg Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us good people to our neighbors. The next chapter in our book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, and the next hadith occurs in hadith number 122. And it occurs under the chapter, Babun la tahqiranna jaratun li jaratiha walau firsinu shat. وَلَوْ فِرْسِ نُشَاتِ لَا تَحْقِرَنَّ جَارَةٌ لِجَارَتِهَا وَلَوْ فِرْسِ نُشَاتِ. لا تحقرن جارة لجارتها. No female neighbor. No female neighbor should demean, look down, or despise. Don't despise anything you want to give to your female neighbor. You female, you mu'mina, you muslima. Don't look down upon any good deed, upon any gift you want to give to your next, to your neighbor. Don't look down upon it. Walau fihsinu shat. Even if that gift is the hoof of a goat or a sheep. You know the hoof, there are just a few flesh that can be eaten and enjoyed from the hoof of a sheep. From the hoof of a sheep, where what we refer to as the shoe of the feet. You know, when we slaughter rams during Eid or during Aqiqah or similar other situations, when you burn it, you have the shoe to remove. And some women have the way they cook that feet to make very nice pepper soup. We like it a lot. That shoe you remove. You know, there's only a small piece of flesh surrounding the bones of that feet, that shoe, that we call it the shoe, was actually the hoof, H-O-O-F. When you remove it, there's a small piece of flesh around that. If that is all that you can provide for your neighbor, you should not look down upon it. The neighbor too should not look down upon it. So you slaughtered an entire sheep. You could not provide me as a gift anything from it except this small part. Don't do that as a Muslim woman. لا تحقرن جارة لجارتها ولو فرسن شاء. No woman should look down or despise a gift for the neighbor, even if that gift is as small, as inconsiderate, as unimportant, so to speak, as flimsy, as small as that part of the animal, the hoof of a goat. You just cut the two or three or four of them. You put it in a plate. You cook it with pepper and oil and water and salt. And then you send it to your neighbor. You should not think it to be small. The neighbor should not also think it to be small. Why? The most important thing about that is that that person has remembered to show some kindness to the neighbor. And that is the basic rule. He has decided or she has decided to show some kindness to her neighbor. She has decided to connect the neighbor. She has intended some goodness with that. So that is big with Allah. That is big with Allah. So the neighbor should not despise what the other neighbor is presenting to her. So this hadith, hadith number 123, Al-Imam al-Bukhari has reported it with a very, very, very sound isnad. And that is the isnad from his teacher Ismail ibn Abi Uwais, who has reported the hadith from Al-Imam Malik. And Al-Imam Malik has reported it from his Sheikh Zayd ibn Aslam. Zayd ibn Aslam was one of those who had a halqa of Quran, tafsir, and hadith in the Prophet's Masjid before the likes of Al-Imam Malik. And Zayd ibn Aslam was from among those who learned from some of the companions like Anas ibn Malik, like Abdullah ibn Umar. So it's a major link, apart from Nafi' that is popular. Nafi', the freed slave of Abdullah ibn Umar. Zayd ibn Aslam was also a student of Abdullah ibn Umar, from whom Al-Imam Malik took the ahadith of who? Abdullah ibn Umar. Al-Imam Malik had access to Zayd ibn Aslam for the ahadith of Ibn Umar and Anas ibn Malik. He also had access to Nafi' for the ahadith of who? Abdullah ibn Umar for the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So one of the major teachers of Al-Imam Malik was who? Zayd ibn Aslam. So Zayd ibn Aslam is the one who has reported this hadith from Amr ibn Mu'az al-Ash'ali. Amr ibn Mu'az al-Ash'ali was a tabi'i. And he has reported this hadith from his grandmother. The grandmother of Amr ibn Mu'az al-Ash'ali was Hawa'u. She was what? Hawa'u al-Ansariya. Hawa'u bint Yazid al-Ansariya. Hawa'u bint Yazid al-Ansariya. She is the Sahaba of this hadith. Hawa'u, Hawa'u. That is the name of our great grandmother Hawa radiallahu anha, the wife of Nabi Adam alayhi salam. Hawa ubintu Yazid al-Ansariya. Hawa ubintu Yazid al-Ansariya. She is the grandmother of who? Amr ibn Mu'az al-Ash'ali. Amr ibn Mu'az al-Ash'ali reported this hadith from who? Hawa ubintu man? Bintu Yazid al-Ansariya. رضي الله عنها أنها قالت that this woman said قال لي رسول الله the messenger of Allah صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said to me يا نساء المؤمنات يا نساء المؤمنات لا تحقرن امرأة من كن لجارتها ولو كراء شاة محرك يا نساء المؤمنات لا تحقرن امرأة من كن لجارتها ولو كراع شاة محرك. She said, حواء بنت يزيد رضي الله عنها الأنصارية. She said that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم said to me, يا نساء المؤمنات. Oh, believing women. This is from the aspects of إضافة الصفة إلى الموصوف. Nisa al-Mu'minat, that is believing women. All women who are believers. All women who believe in Allah and His Messenger in the Day of Qiyamah. All Muslim women, as we shall see in the next riwayah. The next riwayah is with another isnad, that is Hadith 123, and we can take the two of them together. Hadith number 122 and Hadith number 123 have the same message, but they occur in different wordings. So we can take them together and they occur in different isnad, but the message is the same. So in Hadith number 122, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam expressed and said, Ya Nisa al-Mu'minat. But in the Hadith number 123, the expression is, Ya Nisa al-Muslimat, O Muslim women. In the first Hadith, it says, O believing women, O women of Iman. The second one says, all women of Islam. So what it means is that all Muslim women, all women, Muslims, Muslim women, listen. You are the ones that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is directing this affair to. Now you can ask the question, excuse me please, why is it that this matter was directed to women? Is it only the women, that's the mentality in our own times now? Is it only the women who look down upon gifts that their neighbors give to them? We'll come back to that answer. Why is the address directed to women? It's a question that our own women in our own times would ask. So inshallah, we'll provide the answers. Why is it that looking down upon gifts, women are told, don't look down upon the gift that your neighbor brings to you. You don't also look down upon the gift that you want to give. Give is the most important thing, and with good intention. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Nisa al-Mu'minat. In Hadith 123, he says, Ya Nisa al-Muslimat. Ya Nisa al-Muslimat. He was repeating it. The ulama say he was repeating it with tanbih, so that women can pay attention. Women, please pay attention to this matter. Women, please pay attention. Even in the family, there are two boys in a family and each of them has a wife. The wives of these two boys in the family can destroy that family. May Allah protect all of us. I have seen practical examples of these, where the two women of the two elders in the family were the reasons why that family got destroyed. They now amongst themselves do what they call, one of them called, when he was talking to me, he said he called it family politics. The brains behind that family politics, because I knew when it happened, the brains behind that family politics were the wives of the two of them. May Allah protect all of us. So this is regarding the women. Women, please listen. The Prophet says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تحقرن امرأة منكن لجارتها. لا تحقرن امرأة لجارتها. You should not look down upon anything you want to direct. You want to give as a gift to your neighbor. Don't look down at that. You want to give a scarf. The scarf is less expensive now. With 100 naira, you can buy a scarf. With 200 naira, you can buy a scarf. Don't look down upon it. What it also means is that don't wait until you can give your neighbor the lap of a sheep before you can give them gifts. Don't say, oh, I can't give a gift less than this. No, it could even be a single date. And I have seen this when we were younger than this. Our own mothers with the neighbors who live with us, they will say, Elijah, please taste this fish. It's small, but taste it. I just want you to taste it. So you can give it in that name. Hey, I made this moimoi. You can have one of it. Oh, I made this moimoi. It's not much, but we can share a half of it. No matter how small. The Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, La tahqiranna imra'atun min kunna lijaratiha. To no woman should despise or look down upon what she gives to her neighbor. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, walau qura'u shatin muharrakin. Even if it be the bones, when you burn the shat, when you burn the goats or sheep so that you can remove the hairs, you burn the feet too. You smoke it. So even if you smoke that animal and you remove it, that is, even if it's a burnt feet, burnt hoof of a goat, don't look down upon it when you want to give it as a gift. Give the gift. Don't let the smallness of what you want to give dissuade you from giving. I'm not giving the gift. Why? It's too small to give somebody. No, it is shaitan. Give that gift. Hand it out. Hand out the gift. Don't say it is small. And that's the same thing he has said in Hadith 123. The first Hadith is the Hadith of Abu Huraira. The first Hadith is the Hadith of Hawa'u bint Yazid radiallahu anha. And the second Hadith is the Hadith of Abu Huraira. A woman reported the Hadith, a man also reported the Hadith. The two isnads are different. The isnad of 122 is different from the isnad of 123. It means that it's a statement that was openly made by the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was not a statement that one or two persons heard. Women heard it. Men heard it. Women heard it. Men heard it. Radiallahu anhum ajma'in. And they have all reported what they have heard. What was it? That the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam called out the women. He was calling their attention. Ya nisa al-muslimat. Ya nisa al-mu'minat. La tahkiranna. Ahadun min kunna. No one amongst you. He said, alayhi salatu wasalam, la tahkiranna imra'atun min kunna lijaratiha. No woman amongst you should look down upon what she wants to give to her neighbor. Walau qura'u shatin muharrakin. Even if it be the burnt hoof of a sheep, don't look down upon it. Don't look down upon what you give. You have a jilbab to give out. Don't say, oh, this jilbab is a bit unclean. It's a bit dirty. It's a bit old. Wash it. Iron it. Still give it. Especially if you think that the person you are giving will still make benefit from it. Because as small as it is, the person will still make benefit from the hoof of the goat. The benefit will be small, but there is benefit in it. So unless you see, oh, there's no benefit in this, and there's no sense in directing something that absolutely lacks any sort of a benefit to a person. So, but don't say the benefit is small. No. Don't say, oh, the benefit is small. No, don't say that. That smallness, Allah will receive it. Allah, ya'akhuzu sadaqat. Allah takes your sadaqah. Whatever you give us, Allah takes it. Allah receives it. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam told us in a hadith. And the hadith occurs in Bukhari and Muslim. He said alayhi salatu wa salam, مَا تَصَدَّقَ أَحَدٌ بِصَدَقَةٍ مِّنْ طَيِّبٍ مَا تَصَدَّقَ أَحَدٌ بِصَدَقَةٍ مِّنْ طَيِّبٍ No one تَصَدَّقَ بِصَدَقَةٍ gives in charity anything. No one gives anything you give. No matter how small and no matter how big, whatever you give. But مِّنْ طَيِّبٍ it is from goodness, it is from halal. Whatever you give from your halal, meaning that don't give from haram. Because you don't own it. If someone has an haram earning, it is not his own. So how can you give something that does not belong to you? We only have to give sadaqah from the things that belong to us. So if you wrongfully took wealth from somebody or from a place, how do you say you are giving that money in sadaqah? How does that become a sadaqah? When it does not actually belong to you, how can you say you are giving when you are giving something that does not belong to you? And that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Wala yaqbalu Allahu illa at-tayyib." And Allah does not accept except what is halal. The sadaqah that you give is halal. That is the one that Allah will accept. So the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Ma tasaddaqa ahadun." No one gives hands out any charity from halal. Illa akhadha ar-Rahman. Except that that's what I call you. Akhadha ar-Rahmanu biyaminihi. Ar-Rahman, Allah, the most merciful and the most compassionate. Akhadha biyaminihi. Allah will take that, Allah will obtain that sadaqah with his right hand. And that is how it is. Don't ask how will Allah obtain it. He knows how he will do it. But Allah says, Subhanahu, I will take it. I will accept it. And that is how it is. Allah will accept it with his right hand. Means Allah has a right hand that he told us. He's telling us about himself. So that is how it is. No explanations. Except that we say it is not as we think. It is not as we see. It is not as we feel. It is as it befits him, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ar-Rahmanu biyaminihi. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will obtain that sadaqah with his right hand. Wa in kanat tamrata. Even if it be a date, one single date you keep. Akhazaha Allahu biyaminihi. Akhazaha ar-Rahmanu biyaminihi. وَإِنْ كَانَتْ تَمْرَةً Even if it be a single date, فَتَرَبَّوْ فِي كَفِّ الرَّحْمَانِ This sadaqah tarabbaw, it begins to grow and become nurtured in the hand of Ar-Rahman. It begins to grow in the hand of Allah. This single date you gave begins to grow in the hand of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. حَتَّى تَكُونَ أَعْظَمَ مِنَ الْجَبَلِ Until it becomes bigger than the mountain. In some report, it says bigger than Mount Uhud. Begins to grow in the hand of God. In terms of the reward, of course, that you are going to get back from that little single date you gave, from that little feet, hoof of the goat that you gave, from that sadaqah that you think is small. That's why don't think that it is small. Don't let, oh, it is small, prevent you from giving the sadaqah. What is important is that the kindness and the sincerity of intention with which you give it out. These are the most important things that are considered in the sadaqah. Because when you give it out, who takes it? Ar-Rahman. With what? Biyaminihi. And what happens? Fatarabbaw. It begins to become natural. It begins to grow until it becomes like a mountain. Simple, single date. Becomes like the Mount Uhud, and Mount Uhud is a chain of rocks. Becomes so huge in the hand of Allah in terms of the reward that Allah is going to return to you, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So because of that, the Prophet said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, لا تحكرن جارة لجارتها ولو فرس نشات. So فرس نشات actually occurs in Hadith 123. And Qura'u shat has the meaning of what? Sirsinu Shat. Qura'u Shat has the meaning of what? Sirsinu Shat. And what does that mean? The hoof of a sheep. Even if it be the hoof of a sheep, don't hold back sadaqah. Don't hold back a gift from your neighbor just because it is small. Give it out. It will grow in the hand of Ar-Rahman. Give it out. It will grow in the hands of Ar-Rahman. And that is the same reason why you that you are receiving, don't also say, oh, they have finished it all. They are just giving me this small one. Don't say that. Don't say that, oh, they have eaten it all. They are now giving me a small part of it. Accept that small part because it is the message behind the gift that matters more than the gift itself. The message behind it is message of togetherness. I have not forgotten you. I still remember you. I still have the need to do good and direct goodness towards you. This is the message behind the gift. Even if you want to think that it is small, but don't think that it is small. Look at the big message that is behind the gift. Look at the big rewards that will come for the one who has directed the message unto me. So don't, for the sake of Allah, don't look down upon goodness that you do to anybody in that case. Everybody. Whatever good. Don't say, oh, it's small, so I will not do it. I want to be able to buy him a cow. I want to be able to buy him this. I want to be able to buy him a cloth that he can't forget. No. Don't let that be the reason why even the small that you have, you can't spend it. Even the little, and every one of us has a little. One of the scholars, when he explained this hadith, he said one of the tabi'un became so influenced by this hadith such that he gave a gift every day. He has something to give every day. Fortunately or unfortunately, he wasn't rich, but still he found something to give every day. Why? He knows that when he gives, it will fall in the hands of Ar-Rahman and that it will grow to become like a mountain. So he wants that. So who is more reasonable? The one who is regularly giving is more reasonable. Why? Because no matter how little he gives, it's going to become so huge in the sight of him. Okay, how about the one who gives something that is huge? Allah alone knows how huge the rewards would be. If a single date, what we refer to as Davino, can bring you the rewards like the mountains, how about if you give something that is far bigger than that? Then the reward is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There was a question I raised and I would like to end with it. Why is it that the women were directed, this address were directed to the women? One of the scholars, Sheikh Fadlullah Al-Jilani, the author of Fadlullah Al-Samad, one of the first books of Sharh for this book, Al-Adab al-Mufrad, he gave two possibilities. And the two of them are actually feasible. The first one he gave, rahimahullah, he says, لِأَنَّهُنَّ مَوْضِعُ الشَّنَآنِ وَالْمَحَبَّةِ لِأَنَّهُنَّ مَوْضِعُ الشَّنَآنِ. Because anger, mutual anger in the streets, in the community, usually starts with women. وَالْمَحَبَّةِ. Likewise, mutual love starts with women. It is women who usually start telling their husband, look at this person. Why is he looking at us like, oh, why is he doing that? And the husband too begins to feel negative about the neighbor. The same thing, love. When love is to go around, mutual respect, esteem, would go around the community, women are usually the pioneers. They are the ones who say, we must do this. So they will say, no, I won't. Ah, no, let's do it. At least let's have a good name on the street. Let's try to, she calls her husband to this goodness, and she insists. Fortunately, she's also the one in the kitchen cooking. So she knows what's happening to the food, how much is left. Okay, we have this left. Can we give this to Abu so-so-so, or to Umu so-so-so, or to our next neighbor? She's the one cooking. And before she cooks, she has a plan for the food. So she can also plan how food or whatever we are giving as gifts, we reach the next person in our neighborhood. So these things come from women. That is why the women have been called Yanisa al-Minat, Yanisa al-Muslimat, La tahkiranna ahadun min kunna li jaratiha. No one of you should look down and say, oh, the rice we cook, there's no pepper in it. If you are intended to give, give from it. Give from it. Give, no matter how small the benefit may be to the receiver, give it with good intentions and hope of receiving its reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was the first explanation he gave why this address was directed to women. The second thing that he mentioned, rahimahullah, he says, لِأَنَّهَا تَكُونُ فِي النِّسَاءِ أَكْثَرُ مِمَّا فِي الرِّجَالِ لِظَنِّهِنَّ الْفَاسِدِ لِأَنَّ الْجَارَةَ لَمْ تُرِدْ إِلَّا اسْتِصْدَارَهُ. He said, because something is common amongst women. What is that? It is more common amongst women than men. That women usually think that the neighbor wants to bring us down. He wants to look down upon us. He wants to look down upon me and my husband and my children. Women think of that easily. So when you send the hoof of a sheep to a woman, I mean, the woman sends it to another woman in another house, the second person will start thinking that, what's this insult? So they don't have anything. So we are so poor in our house that we can't eat anything except the hoof. Thinking like this, this sheikh says, is more with regards to women than with men. Women usually think that someone wants to look at them. Someone wants to, you want to take us for a ride. You want to joke with me. Easily, this mentality is common with women. That's why the women we are addressed, don't look down upon what is given to you. You also don't look down upon what you want to give. I hope that this hadith is also clear. Tomorrow we will continue with the next hadith, with the next part. I beg Allah to make us understand this hadith better than we have tried to explain. Abu Yusuf.
جزاكم الله خيرا شكرا أحسن الله إليكم
آمين وإياكم أبايس.
This question says, please, what is your advice on giving right to a neighbor's wife without the consent of her husband and being in seclusion with her?
These things are not lawful. If you are a man, pass the gift through your wife. If you are a man in the neighborhood. And I know most neighborhoods will not provide an accommodation for an unmarried man. If you are an unmarried man, be careful how you handle this matter so that your good intention does not end up in places you don't expect. Don't direct a gift as a man to a woman. The norm with married men is that they don't exchange gifts with a woman, except through the husband of that woman. This is inbuilt in the mind of every man. He wants to give it through a woman. You want to give a woman, you pass it through the husband. It is more honorable, and it will keep away any kind of rayba, any kind of evil thoughts from the man, especially if you find some men that are very, very jealous like some of us. Please don't try that joke. Maybe it's a joke that may be taken too far. If you want to send a gift to a woman, send it through her husband. If you want to send a gift to a woman, send it through her husband. Send it through her. It will remove any kind of evil thoughts regarding the gift, especially if you have members of the family. Send that gift through the husband. Let the husband know that we just did this. Somehow. So for the sake of Allah, it's better for the safety of the community. If you're a man, send the gift through your wife. If you send it directly, even your wife will not feel comfortable with you. She'll be saying, Abu Jazaki, Jazakallahu khairan. But behind it, she's thinking something else. That's the nature of women. They say what they don't think. They think what they don't say. That's how women are. That's why the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the hadith of Salah with Abu Bakr, he called our mother Aisha. He said, you people, auntie, auntun, Sawahiba Yusuf, if I get in, and Tunna Sawahiba Yusuf. You people are like the women in the time of, in the story of Yusuf. The woman who invited other women to come and eat food, was it food she wanted them to eat? You see now? So please, for the sake of Allah, even your wife will not feel comfortable if you start sending gifts to the women in your community, to the woman in your community. Send parties through your wife. So it is like a woman to a woman. That's why you see in this hadith, it is women to women that it is talking about. Even though the source of the gift might have come from the man, but the one who hands out the gift is who? the woman for the sake of Allah. Let it be like that. And it may also be that the women in a community can send gifts, except in the kind of cases that we know. We have an old grandma regarding who no reasonable woman will start thinking that, oh, this old grandma is sending gifts to my husband. What does she want? She does not want any other than that. She wants gifts to come to your husband or to you. But it's usually better to send the gifts to go from women to women. It helps the spirit, the message behind the gift in itself, which is the goodness and the communal understanding should be created in the community. So we should send gifts. The gifts should go from women to women. More so if we know that doing the opposite way will bring more fitna. May Allah protect all of us from fitna. Avoiding fitna has a bigger importance than trying to do good. They say, Dar'ul mafasid muqaddamun ala jalbil masalih. May Allah protect all of us. I hope that is the basis of that question, Abba Yusuf. Naam. Naam, Abba Yusuf. Abba Yusuf, the rest of the questions. Well, while we wait for Abba Yusuf to come back online, I think we have missed him. The last week I mentioned a hadith that when we go on to close our water vessels and lock our doors, we should say the isti'aza. The hadith about it is mentioned the name of Allah. Is that we should mention the name of Allah. We should say Bismillah. Even though some of the scholars will insist that mentioning the name of Allah is not restricted to saying Bismillah. But let's take it to say, oh, say Bismillah when you cover the water vessels, when you turn the containers the other way around, when you lock the doors, when you put out the lights. What should you say on these occasions? Bismillah. I hope that the answer is correct. Last week, I promised I was going to come back to it. What I used to say is isti'aza, because I think that my understanding was mentioning the name of Allah is not restricted to saying Bismillah, because it doesn't say we should say Bismillah, or we should say Basmala, or we should say At-Tasmiyah, mentioning Allah's name. It does not necessarily say Basmala, because there is a difference between Basmala and Tasmiyah. Al-Basmala too is under At-Tasmiyah. Al-Basmala is to say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. At-Tasmiyah is any expression you say that involves mentioning the name of Allah. I hope that is clear. So even Bismillah will suffice as At-Tasmiyah. Bismillah will not suffice as Basmala. I hope that is clear. That's why when we want to read the Quran, we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We don't say Bismillah. Bismillah is At-Tasmiyah and it is not Basmala. Basmala is part of At-Tasmiyah. Do you understand? If we say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, we have mentioned the name of Allah. Yeah, but if we say At-Tasmiyah, it will suffice if we say Bismillah. It will even suffice if we say Allah, because the meaning is that mention the name of Allah. So if we say Bismillah, because that's what we do regularly, there is no blame. But it means also that we can also say A'udhu Billah. Because when you say A'udhu Billah, you make it say Allah, you have also mentioned the name of Allah. Allahu A'lam. But if we say Bismillah, we are not wrong. And if we also say A'udhu Billah, we are not also wrong. Upon the meaning that At-Tasmiyah too is a wider expression than merely saying Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. I hope that it is understood. If it is not understood, we can ask about it and we'll respond to it, inshallah, in subsequent classes. If Abba Yusuf is there, Abba Yusuf, Bismillah.
As-salamu alaykum.
Alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
This is offline now, so I'll read one or two questions, inshallah.
Okay, Bismillah.
This question is, the questioner says, as-salamu alaykum. What do you say about a man giving his neighbor's wife a lift?
Well, we have mentioned something near that in the first question that we answered. Whatever you do that will start bringing about evil thoughts in the community, don't do it. And when a woman comes in a lift with you, she's alone with you in the car. When it becomes continuous, it's shaitan will come into it. So a man should go away from it. A woman should go away from it. In fact, you should avoid it more than you avoid it for other women that you don't know at all. The nearer a woman is to us, that we see them regularly, and there's a fitna that can come up, we should avoid them more than all others. Just like Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us more regarding the brothers of our husband. This is one area that we may not think that evil can come up, but evil can come up. So he started saying that Al-Hamu al-Maut, the husband's brother is dead. Nadai is that meaning that it could be very destructive when a woman becomes free with the brother of her husband. So the same thing, when people are nearer to you, the nearer a woman is to you that you can be seeing her regularly, the more you should be careful about having anything to do with her in any privacy. And lifting a woman in a car is from the matters of privacy. Many of the scholars have mentioned that. So don't take a lift from your neighbor who is a man, more so that you will be the only person in the car. If there are others, the more the people in the car, the lesser the evil that is feared in it. Like you find in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Al-Bukhari with the wife of Zubair ibn Awam, Asma'u bintu Abubakr ibn Siddiq. The Prophet was going to give her a ride. There were a lot of companions there. It was not just the Prophet alone and herself. Even though Al-Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he mentioned that the Prophet has a special permission to relate with women alone. But leave that aside, because you are not in this condition. They say that is from his own khususiyat. But he was with the rest of the companions. He was not alone. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not alone. He was with the companions. And yet, at that, Asma bintu Abi Bakr al-Siddiq, because of her shyness, she was shy to ride with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So why will you not be shy to ride with your neighbor, oh woman? Thinking about the protective jealousy of your husband. So think about it. Don't ride with an ajnab male, a male that is far away, that is not from your maharim. Don't ride on it. Likewise, the man should avoid not to pick up such women for the ride, especially if they are going to be the only persons in the vehicle, if any circumstance, unless all the people will drop at the same time, all the people will come, and no conversations, no discussions, no gist, no, even when there are people in the vehicle. So please, we should be careful about things like this. May Allah protect us from that. I think that our time is fast spent. I mean, we are far over the hour now. Bismillah, we'll be reading a very, very interesting hadith about how one of the companions handled his neighbor who was very difficult in the time of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. The hadith is a bit lengthy. We'll come back to it tomorrow, inshallah. I think we can stop here. Subhanaka Allahumma alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. Astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. Jazakallahu khairan.
Ameen.